Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and this show is brought to you by the all-new huntrealestate.com, which is going to get newer. I don't know if that's proper English, but will be new again shortly. And this is where everything is really easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and now to Boston, Massachusetts. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. I encourage you to call them today, 633-3700. Ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants, and that's guaranteed. And also ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk, effectively, no cost or risk, to enter the market to find your next home with cash. So check out Hunt Mortgage today at 633-3700, and you'll receive what we like to call personalized, customized, knock-your-socks-off service. And check out that low-rate guarantee, and it's very important today, and that's what we'll be talking about a little bit later. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate and even out to Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800, enter the street number of the house you want to know about. By the way, there's a local number in each of our markets, Rochester, Syracuse, Albany, and out to Phoenix, Arizona even. Just enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Select the one you want, you'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that particular property, all automatically and just that fast, anytime, in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other brokers. And this is an absolutely unique and service to all customers here in Western New York, and it has to do with any property for sale. You see any sign, you don't have to stop and, you know, try to figure out which number to call or who to text on the thing. All you have to do is dial 631-4800, and all you need to know is the street number, and as long as you know what street you're on, then it'll prompt you and you'll be all set. We have a very interesting set of market conditions right now, which we're going to be talking about. But there is a shortage of inventory, and it's been chronic, and I've talked to you about this before. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the reasons why that's the case and what may happen down the road. But I want you to remember a couple things. If you do have a home to sell, you want to talk to Hunt Real Estate ERA agent, because they're the only ones that can look you in the eye and tell you that we will sell your home or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. And you call 633-9400 if you'd like to know more about that or any of our other exclusive programs. Hunt Real Estate is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. And we do sponsor the Red Zone for the Buffalo Bills. Unfortunately, there hasn't been much opportunity to have that sponsorship show up because we haven't been in the Red Zone very much. But I want to wish them luck tomorrow as they play the Chicago Bears. We are broadcast live here at WBEN 930 AM. You can reach us here in the studio at 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 if you're long distance, or star 930 if you're mobile. And the text number is 30930. That's a relatively new service here. So if you want to be anonymous and blast away at us, you can through the text line. We have a very special show for you today, and it's one of the most important topics we can possibly talk about, and that's really the economic circumstances surrounding the real estate market today. And to help me with this today, probably the leading expert on this in the market area today, and that's Linda Malia, president of Hunt Mortgage. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Peter.
And just by way of reference, I'm not just, you know, pumping it up when I say what I say about you, because I don't think there's anybody that's been in the position of operating as the president, a mortgage company, probably anywhere in the state as long as you have.
I know. Thank you.
I'm not trying to age you or anything. I'm just define your age. I just want to.
I know. I said that to somebody yesterday because I'm celebrating my 40th anniversary. And I said, even if I started at 2 years old, now I'm still old. I mean, it used to be, I started when I'm two. You know, I'm still young. But goodness gracious, I know 40 years. I mean,
And 34 at the mortgage company.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that, and since day one, which is pretty impressive. yesterday, the jobs numbers came out, the unemployment numbers came out. They're always talking about the inflation rate, and they're always talking about interest rates. And certainly the issue of trade is again in the headlines. Trade talks, trade wars, whatever you want to call it, particularly as a local business closes. Bach USA, Mr. Bach and Mrs. Bach even have been on the show a few times, and it's unfortunate to see a local company close. And when the one of the reasons cited is the trade war, so to speak, or the tariffs put on goods coming from China as a reason why they're closing. Of course, that's not a good thing. Having said all that, we have a very unique set of circumstances in the economy today. Unemployment is at an 18-year low. The jobs growth is at the most rapid pace for, 40 years or something like that?
Something like that. Mm-hmm.
The inflation rate remains persistently low, relatively speaking. And the trade imbalance numbers came out yesterday, and they're not terrible. I mean, they're not good, but they're not terrible. And hanging over our heads, though, is what the Federal Reserve is going to do, or in December when they meet again. And they're promising to, or they're making no secret about the fact that they'll probably raise rates again.
Right.
So in light of all that, how does the mortgage market view those circumstances? Because let me just add one other little touch to that. There's a talk that, you know, this can't go on forever. The market's too strong and et cetera, et cetera. And then the stock market goes through a little shakeup like it did yesterday when Apple goes down 7% or whatever it did. You know, people get all nervous and jerky, and they say there's got to be a dark cloud on the horizon someplace. But then you wake up the next morning, it's all sunlight.
I know.
And so I just wonder, how does the mortgage market react with all those circumstances coming into play, and then how do you see customers reacting when they try to make sense of that?
Well, the mortgage market kind of reacts retrospectively in a way. Everyone is assuming that the Fed is going to raise rates in December, and so those things are generally priced in ahead of time. They don't wait until the Fed, and that's probably the biggest misunderstanding the average consumer has. They think, well, let me apply the day before the Fed's raising. No, we can't all read the newspaper ourselves or listen to the news, read the newspaper. I'm dating myself, right? But that's already
I'm
priced
hoping
in.
Some people do today.
I hear you. Understand. So that's already priced in. The mortgage market obviously is based on the bond market and what's happening to bonds. And the stock market, in some ways, because when money flows out of the stock market and there's a flight to safety, the safest investment in the world is considered the United States bonds. So rates have been slowly increasing, not wildly increasing, but slowly and steadily climbing up. I would say that for young...
Let's get the dimensions. Where was the low? And where are we now?
The absolute low was probably the high twos.
And that was a 30-year mortgage, or is that a 15? Or
that was a 15. Maybe the 30 might have touched that for a day or two, maybe.
Mm-hmm. And but how long ago was that?
That's a good question. I'm gonna guess 3 years now, approximately.
It's been that long.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna guess. I'm sort of not sure of
so
that.
So we're talking 2015 was probably the rock bottom.
Bottom in terms of rates. They've been sort of slowly climbing since then, and now we're in the high fours. Depending upon your credit score, you may be getting into the fives. Like yesterday, I was looking at a particular customer, not the greatest credit score, buying a second home, multifamily. It couldn't be a second home multifamily. It must have been an investment property, multifamily, and that was 5.25. So you can get into the fives.
Let me just stop you there because I think when people say mortgage rates, they think it's one rate. And that's changed kind of wildly in the last the last 5 or 6 years as credit scores have really helped to determine whether or not you are going to get the best rate or something, some other rate.
You know, Peter, there's something else that, again, I don't think the average consumer would pay much attention to, but there's something that was inserted into the mortgage market, and I'm going to guess this is probably also about 5 years old. It's called loan level price adjustments. So when you go to apply to any lender, we're all using computers to price our loans. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who are the two largest purchasers of mortgages in the United States, if you're getting a mortgage less than $420,000, you are probably ultimately going to be sold to Fannie or Freddie. So we're all going to the same well to buy our money. And Fannie and Freddie both have something called loan level price adjustments, where they ding you, if you will, based on what you're doing. So if you're buying a multifamily, there's an extra risk charge
premium
for that.
Yep.
Yeah, a loan level price adjustment, but it's really a premium, as you said. If your credit score is a certain thing, and that's the thing most people do know about, your loan to value, in other words, your down payment. Believe it or not, if you are putting 20% down and I'm putting 15% down, I'm going to get a better rate than you are, slightly better. Now, some lenders, including Hunt Mortgage, we absorb some of that cost, because trying to explain to anybody how, oh, you want to put more down? Oh, we're going to charge you more.
How just stop. I got to stop you there. What does that mean?
Well, what happens is, if you're putting less than 20% down, you have to have private mortgage insurance. Okay,
right.
So we, Hunt Mortgage, go to a third party and say, please insure Peter Hunt's loan because he's only putting 15% down.
But they're only insuring the difference between 15 and 20%.
Yep,
they're
not
insuring the whole thing.
No, they're not. They're generally insuring 30% of the loan amount.
Are they?
Yep. Mm-hmm. It depends on what, again, it's a confluence of different things, but sometimes we're getting 20% coverage, sometimes 30. So they are insuring that portion of the loan.
Mm-hmm.
So if you default, we don't have to absorb the whole loan. We've got some coverage by this mortgage insurance company. So if you put exactly 20 down, we don't have that insurance. And Fannie and Freddie recognize, well, that's an extra risk. We're on our own on this loan.
For the difference between 5% and 20 or 30%.
Exactly, exactly. So there is, you do get a slightly better rate or cost if you're putting less than 20% down, but then you have to pay mortgage insurance. And so that's why it always pays to sit down with an experienced, skilled mortgage consultant, as we have on our staff. If you, for example, deal with a large internet provider, I'm not going to name any names, but maybe if it rhymes with Lickin, you're getting somebody who's sitting in a warehouse in Detroit with a headset on that knows virtually nothing about the mortgage business. They're not going to be skilled enough to tell you, well, wait a minute, let me look at 15% down, let me look at 20% down.
Just, again, let me stop you there for a second, because if I listen to the ads, I'm going to get an answer, and I'm going to get a mortgage commitment in like 22 seconds or something. What could that possibly be? I mean, how could they do that, and how many qualifications around a mortgage commitment like that?
Yeah. Well, we actually have the exact same system that they have, and it's called Mortgage Engine. If you go onto our website and you make an application and you grant permission for us to access your bank accounts, your tax returns, and other things online. Now, I'm at an age where I looked at that system, and it is, our system is incredible. I get nervous about that. I mean, we have all kinds of security on it. We check it, you know, 22 times to Sunday. But we can do the same thing. So what happens is, you apply, you hit the button, we instantly get your tax return, we instantly get your bank accounts. The system is even intelligent enough to recognize if you have large deposits and ask you about it. Yeah, Peter, you have to see this system. I don't think you've had a chance to see the live system. It's
no,
incredible.
I try to steer clear of that stuff.
Yeah, so we can give you an instantaneous decision, just like it shows on those commercials. The only, as I like to tell our agents and our consumers, the only difference is we don't have the celebrity spokesperson who gets paid a heck of a lot more than I do, I'm sure. So, you know, they're spending. they're spending, I know.
Shocking. I doubt that highly.
That's true. They're spending a lot of money on that advertising and on that celebrity spokesperson. So we have all those things. But, you know, we're offering them at a much lower cost, lower price.
All right. Well, back to the point, though. I mean, so what do I get if I go online, either to our website or to this other one, What do I get? What do I really? What kind of commitment do I actually get?
Yeah, that I didn't answer your question. The when you do press that button, you can get an approval, but it is going to be based on 200 different conditions, and a human being does eventually have to look at this stuff and go through it. So it's kind of cool, that you get your approval instantaneously. And frankly, it's what millennials want. That's why we're doing it. I was just talking to one of the mortgage consultants yesterday, and he said he had a young girl that was applying for a mortgage, and, she wanted to do it online. She applied on her mobile phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, got her approval. She was a happy camper. And then he was talking to her in the morning about, well, okay, this is what you applied for. You got your approval, but, have you considered this down payment, that down payment? Let's look at this. Let's look at that. And he was able to give her that, skilled and deep dive look at the most important financial transaction on positive she's made to date. For most people, it is the biggest and largest financial transaction of their lives, usually when they're applying for a mortgage. Based on her age, I'm confident in saying it's probably the largest she ever got, maybe next to her student loans, who knows.
Cynically speaking, if I were listening to this, I might say, well, both systems are, ours and theirs is kind of a bait and switch then. I mean, I'm not saying it is, but that might be a logical conclusion, because now I call back, whether it's for our company or any other company, and say, well, you've got this commitment. There's 19 conditions here, but have you thought about this or thought about that? I mean, is how often does someone who applies that way, the young lady you're referring to, actually close the loan that she applied for at 2 o'clock in the morning? Or is it usually a well thought out kind of massaged process that brings them to a better place?
Yeah, I think the online process has been so smoothed out that I would guess 95% of the time.
Really?
Yeah. I just think that it more comes down to a consultation on cash. That's mostly the discussion. Mm-hmm. They apply, they get, say they put, I want to put 20% down. Everybody wants to put 20% down. Oh my God, I don't want to pay mortgage insurance. And then we look at their cash and go, geez, you're going to close with 2 cents left in your pocket. Is that really what you want to do? Those are more the consultations that we might have with them,
Well, let's go back to rates for a second, because just before we go to the break, and I'd like to just make sure our listeners understand this. You said just in one statement, when we've talked about this before on this show and elsewhere, that the bond market is really the thing to watch when you're looking at interest, trying to understand mortgage interest rates. What am I watching, and what's happening? What are the factors impacting bond pricing that would then impact mortgage pricing?
Well, I always tell people, don't watch the bond market. Don't watch rates. Go out and find the house you want, and we'll get you the mortgage that you want, average consumer.
But in the back of their mind, they're saying, how much am I really going to pay for this? Like buying a car. It's like, go out and find the car you want, and then the salesman starts giving you 19 different options on how to buy it or lease it.
Right. Right. And I suppose it's the same. Like, I really should be buying a new car right now, but I've got like a 1% interest rate on my car. And so it's coming into my, I'm
sure.
Going, oh, rates are up. Do I really want to deal with this? And, so if consumers want to, watch the bond market, they certainly can. So when bonds, I have a price and a yield, and the mortgage market works in reverse to the price of bonds. So price of bonds is down, rates are up. The yield and the price move in opposite.
Well, the bond yield has been going up, which means that at least the last few days. So which means that the...
But the price has been going down. So the price of bonds down, the yield's up.
All right. So then you got to explain that at one.
Sorry. I know. I know. I tend to do this a little too rapidly. So the bonds have a price and a yield. Mortgage rates will match the performance of the yield if the yield on the bonds is going up.
And both are expressed as a percentage.
Correct. Generally speaking, yes.
So if the yield generally higher than the price, or are they the same, or what?
You know, that I'm not sure of. I don't know the answer to that question.
Maybe during the break we'll look them up in the paper.
Yeah, we can do that.
Just to see what the story is.
The 30-year fixed rate mortgages are generally based on the 10-year treasuries.
The 10-year treasury, okay.
Yeah.
So let's establish that for just a second here. So then what, in your opinion, are the key factors influencing the 10-year bond?
I'm sorry. I got distracted by the text messages that are coming. Somebody's yelling, help. What's that all about? What help do they need? Tell us what help you need. We'll help you.
I think perhaps we're confusing people.
Yeah.
So let's try to make it simple.
Yeah, maybe.
If I'm trying to understand interest rates, what we're trying to do for the people that are yelling help via text, but what we're trying to do is to say, okay, mortgage rates are going up. Here's the why. And that's what we're trying to do. And so in understand the why, we have to understand what interest rates are priced, mortgage interest rates are priced off of.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we're trying to walk through. So then layering that down, what impacts the price and yield of bonds?
Well, quantitative easing is ending, and there the government was trying to help the economy by keeping rates low. And now, of course, the economy is improving. And jobless numbers, as you said, are down. And so if the Fed were to artificially continue to keep rates low during these good economic times, inflation would be out of control.
And there would be no room for them to move.
Oh, Lord.
Should they need to.
Right, right. Exactly.
And then it would cause severe disruption in the economy.
Very severe disruption in the economy. So the Fed has been signaling that, you know, we're done with quantitative easing and we're done with, keeping rates low, and we're going to start what is proper. Rates have to come back up.
Okay. So now all that stuff impacts bonds, and then that obviously impacts mortgage rates.
Right.
So here we are today, and we're what would be if someone were to look, watch television, and they see a rate come across the screen, what would it look like today?
I'm sorry,
for rate for a mortgage today. Because it's always there's a bait rate out there, something to get you to call or go online.
Mm-hmm.
What would it look like today?
I would say that lenders generally advertise our prime rate, not the prime rate that banks charge, but our prime rate. And our prime rate would be for a conventional mortgage about $200,000 with a 750 score, and they're low, high fours, excuse me.
High fours. Okay, good. That's a good baseline, and we'll come back and dig a little deeper and perhaps confuse these people even.
Yeah, really.
We'll see more messages up. And we'll be right back with more from our house after these important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is the only place on the web where you can find a complete inventory of homes available, not just here in Buffalo, Niagara, but all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona, and soon Boston, Massachusetts. And you'll also find access to a complete set of home ownership services at HuntRealEstate.com, which is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA. This show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And for more information about our many exclusive programs, including one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, allowing you to effectively buy the before and live the after, which is an important thing in a city like Buffalo, community like Western New York, because of our varied age of our housing, call 633-3700 and ask for details and ask about that pre-purchase commitment and even our warm home loan, only at Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. And I'll remind you that we are the official relocation and real estate providers for Buffalo Sabres, Buffalo Bills, and Rochester Americans. Sabres play this afternoon, and the Bills play tomorrow, obviously. These are important days for us as we kind of live and die by how our teams are doing, and we're kind of dying a little bit.
Yeah.
The Bills hurts a little bit, but
it does. Hurts a lot.
Who knows? Maybe they'll come back. Somebody needs to provide an offense, though. And for those of you who just want to pick up the phone and talk about anything relative to real estate, call the Hunt Customer Service Center at 633-9400, the only one of its kind in North America. And one of our reps can instantly direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need relative to buying or selling a home, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. And remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan, available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. So stop into one of our open houses and ask about that this weekend. And I'm in the studio today with Linda Malaya, the president of Hunt Mortgage, and we've been talking about kind of the basis for interest rates and what's going on in the economy. And I want to broaden the conversation a little bit, starting where we left off, and that was that rates are in the high fours today. That's
right.
Pretty much a simple to help the people that are screaming for help on text. Rates are in the high fours today, and that just in a historical perspective, what does that mean? I mean, I can remember years and years and years and years when 8% seemed so low, and yet at that point, in terms of the number of houses sold to the population as a percentage of the population here, it's about the same as it is today.
Mm-hmm. You know, I am amazed at some reactions to interest rates, because younger borrowers who have never experienced anything but these low rates, they're in shock. But I would say that second-time buyers who have experienced much higher interest rates, they're not at all surprised. They don't seem at all disturbed by rates going up. And when you think about it, you know, a high four, give me a break. That's a great rate still. So it remains a great time to purchase a home. And it always balances out. I mean, when rates rise, sellers' prices tend to come down a little bit. It's always been that way, mm-hmm. because there's only so many dollars to go around, and something squirts out somewhere else. I mean, that's the balancing of the market.
Exactly. And you mentioned earlier in the show the issue of working with a professional mortgage consultant. This is something that we're emphasizing throughout our organization this year and into the future, that it's not just a matter of dealing with an agent or a mortgage person, or whatever you want to call them, a loan officer that they used to be called. It's really talking with someone at any level of the transaction that is a true professional. And we're working very hard, as you know, in our company right now to make sure that our people understand that what a professional is in any area, and then making sure that we educate and train our people to that level. So what goes on in the mortgage company to earn that credential of being a mortgage consultant?
That's a great question. You know, again, there's so many things that don't make any sense that I can't really explain, but years ago, regulators came out and said, if you're going to work for a mortgage company as opposed to a bank, you need to have a license. So my brethren at, say, M&T Bank that are offering mortgages, they're registered with the federal government. I'm licensed with the federal government. The average consumer doesn't know that. We both have what's called NMLS numbers. So if you're talking to Joe M&T, Joe is going to say, hi, I'm Joe from M&T. I'm a loan officer, and my NMLS number is, I'm going to say to you, I'm Linda Malaya. I'm from Hunt Mortgage. My NMLS number is 3777. The difference is that I have to take continuing education. I had to pass an exam to get my license. And I can assure you that our mortgage consultants, because of this licensing process, it's guaranteed they know what they're doing, which is not to say that M&T doesn't properly vet their loan officers. I'm quite sure they do. They're a fine and reputable bank. But there's an extra layer. If you are dealing with a licensed mortgage person, you're dealing with a more highly qualified person, as proven by what the government puts us through.
Or a more highly educationally stressed person.
Yes.
At the very least.
Yes.
And I wouldn't necessarily say that that makes us better or worse than a bank, for example. But it's just a different set of regulations. And this is part of the, what I would describe as the insanity that comes out of the legislative process and the law of unintended consequences. I think probably there was some good reason for that.
I can't imagine there was. I'm sorry. This one, I cannot imagine there was.
I can't either, but I'm sure that they thought there was.
They must have.
The legislators themselves must have thought there was, as evidenced by the Dodd-Frank bill, which, you know, who knows where that came from besides outer space somewhere.
You know, I guess I look at it, it's just, I guess someday I'd like to get Chris Dodd or Barney Frank and say, what was your thought process on that? Because the larger lenders, the Wells Fargos of the world, the B of A's of the world, they were part of the financial crisis. I don't, and which is not to say that maybe a mortgage, independent mortgage banker wasn't, but why are people have to go through what they go through as opposed to, and sometimes when people can't pass these exams, they go work for a bank, which is really aggravating and really frustrating that our people have to do that. And because I'm licensed in, I've lost count how many states I'm licensed in, I have to do continuing education in each state. Not that I have to fly there. I do it on my computer. But some of these are as basic as if you had to do continuing education to keep your driver's license, and I'm not joking one iota here, it would be, what do you do in the morning to start your car? You open the door, you get in the car, and you put the key in the ignition or put your foot on the brake, press the fob. You know, I realize I'm, again, dating myself by putting the key in the ignition. But that is how basic this continuing education is that I have to do. In multiple states. I mean, it is so frustrating. And my brethren at the bank do not have to do this. It's so wickedly unfair, but it is what it is.
I'm not going to explain my theory of government, which is not my theory, but what I learned a long time ago studying government, again, from our listeners, because they'd start rolling their eyes. But this is a classic example.
It is.
It's a bureaucracy created to continue itself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, that's fine. Let's go back to the I guess the important issue in my mind, which is how our listeners should look at the economy, more even broader than the bond market itself. How should they be looking at the economy, and from what they're seeing, what would be your prediction of the direction of interest rates as we look forward, when you've got all these incredibly good things happening apparently, and then you've got the constant threat, the storm clouds on the horizon, there's a recession, can't go on this well for so long and without something bad happening.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly appears, based on the trajectory of the economy and the unemployment rate continuing to go down, that interest rates will continue to rise fairly slowly. Now, you got, you know, on Tuesday, something kind of exciting happening. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, it seems like they're saying that, you know, the Dems are going to take the House and the Republicans are going to retain the Senate. And, you know, but if that, like, should switch around, that would cause a jolt in the market. You might see a jolt in rates. Anytime there's unexpected news, there's always an increase in rates.
Of course, that wouldn't be unexpected. So
true.
Now, you talked about pricing being predictive. In other words, they're looking ahead, mm-hmm. anticipating what's going to happen, so that today's rates are going to be based on what people pricing loans think will happen down the road.
Without a doubt. I mean, for example, though, if on Tuesday it's a bloodbath, let's say, for one party or the other, that they're not expecting that.
Mm-hmm. No, they're not expecting
that. Nancy Pelosi is expecting that.
Well, I think, you know, there was a time when that was expected, and that's been softened a little bit.
Right.
But you know, that's almost irrational if you think about it, because mm-hmm. generally speaking, when the economy is strong, people don't want things to change.
Right.
You know, the last thing they want to do is throw, you know, a monkey wrench into what looks like a well-run machine. Now, but this has become about personality, and
right.
and so it's a little different ballgame. But if you look at the raw data, unemployment, job growth, inflation, trade discussions, at least, the GDP, you look at all these things, and you say, and with the exception of the gyrations in the stock market itself, equities, everything else looks pretty darn good.
It does. The economy is very strong right now. And again, that should lead to slightly higher interest rates. Conversely, it should also lead to people doing better, getting raises, et cetera. And so they can...
Let me stop there. So the Fed looks at this and says, while we have the opportunity, we're going to raise the rates, so we're not doing it to totally goof up the world.
Yeah, I don't think that they're looking at it as opportunistic. I think they're looking at it as in keeping in balance, keeping everything in check and in balance. As wages rise, interest rates need to rise too, or we'd have crazy inflation.
And also, if you look at how what they're trying to balance, it appears to me that they're trying to balance the perceived or anticipated inflation rate with the Fed funds rate.
Yes.
So that's the kind of balance we're looking for. We'll be right back with more from our House Steers after these important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day, but one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Hunt Mortgage. Hunt Mortgage. No, Hunt Mortgage is here. Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage, as I jumped the gun on just a moment ago. And here with me to discuss the many aspects of the economy that relate to the mortgage market and hence people's ability to buy and sell houses, because the mortgage market funds what percentage of the mortgage market does the real estate market is funded day by day by the mortgage? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
I would imagine 60%.
Yeah,
I mean, if you take the total purchase value of housing today on any given day, 60% of that is borrowed. I'm just guessing, but yeah. I think it's got to be at least that, wouldn't you say?
I would think.
Anyway, to help me with that discussion is Linda Malaya, the president of Hunt Mortgage, and we do have a caller on the line. This is John from Rochester. John, how can we help you?
Hey, Peter. Hey, Linda.
Hi, John.
John, how you doing?
Talking about Dodd-Frank. Those two guys are like foxes in the hen house. They in part, were responsible for the securitization of low-income bad loans. In fact, McCain, Reverend John McCain, in like 2005, addressed Congress about the issue that these loans were dangerous. And Frank and Christopher Dobbs, they ignored it. And they said they poo-pooed it. And it's amazing that they're the backers of that legislation.
Yeah. It's the whole legislation was... Well, some of it is good. There's no question. Some of it was needed. Some of it is good. But you're right. The foxes in the hen house wrote it.
And, you know, it kind of begs a little study of the history of what was going on at that time, say from 2000 to when really things went haywire in September 2008. And the best analysis I've ever read of this is a book called Reckless Endangerment, written by two New York Times journalists who aren't necessarily what I would describe as remotely conservative. So you would think that they would be somewhat apologetic for the Dodd-Frank and everything else that went on there, but they aren't. I think it was very even-handed. And I'd encourage you to take a look at that, John, because it's more than just what Chris Dodd and Barney Frank did or thought or acted on. There were a whole host of characters that contributed to that collapse, and really nobody went to jail, nobody, and this was caused the largest disruption in our economy since the Great Depression. I mean, and nobody really suffered as a result.
I know
personally, no one suffered.
It's amazing, absolutely amazing.
It is amazing, and I think we all kind of shake in our boots about what factors would be combining to make that happen again. And as I look over the issues in the economy, good things and bad things, I don't see hardly anything that parallels what happened back then.
You know, I don't either, except I do see the rise of certain lenders that are doing these riskier mortgages again, believe it or not. I at least once a month across my desk comes some investor that wants us to do risky loans. Now, we fought that back in the day. We did not do option arms. And you may remember, Peter, that we were at a meeting, and one of the agents stood up and just blasted me because we wouldn't offer those options. Blasted me to kingdom come. And I said, these are not good products. These are not helpful to the consumer. They will damage the real estate industry in the long run. But in any event, you know, that's all history. But I'm getting, I'm not getting investors for option arms, but I'm getting these no docs and low docs. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Angel Oak is an investor. Google them and you'll see they are buying these mortgages again. It's like there ain't no angel in the company. Holy cow.
Well, there's a whole bunch of new influences in the market that we've talked about before. But we have a text caller, a texter, who says, what's the best way to find homes that are in foreclosure in Buffalo? Well, I'm going to encourage you to call a gentleman named George Correa at our Kenton office. George is probably the largest, I would say, handler of foreclosed properties in Western New York and does an excellent job. If you're in Rochester, you'll want to talk to a guy named Larry Majuli. He's with our Brighton-Pittsford office there. In both cases, they handle a large volume of these homes and certainly have a pulse on what's happening in the foreclosure world, which isn't that big in Western New York.
Not anymore.
It really never has been.
True.
And you know, we never had every third house foreclosed on like some cities did around the country. We had a very, you know, in spite of all that trouble, we had a very, very stable environment here in Western New York, which is... it's almost impossible to fathom. And the biggest problem we had during that period of time was the psychology. People were thinking that it had to be as bad here as it is everywhere else.
Yeah. The other thing I would always I always like to remind people that are looking for foreclosures is if you are skilled at this, great, go for it. But if you've never bought a house before and you're thinking that you're going to find a house for pennies on the dollar, you might, but generally a house that's been foreclosed on has been empty for years. And, you know, there's look at all homes. Don't just look at foreclosures. They're not always the bargain that one thinks they are.
And you really need to talk to somebody who's an expert in that area.
Which George and Larry are both.
Because, you know, it's so easy for any real estate agent to say, I'll help you find a foreclosure. And all they're going to do is go to a directory of listings that anybody has access to and try, and fish through it. But you want to talk to people that handle them every single day because it is, it's more of an art than a science. But there's a lot of science involved too. And you need someone who's skilled in that area, whoever that caller is. And I encourage you, if you want to, you can email me at peter.hunt@huntrealestate.com if you want, and I'll direct you to George and or Larry, depending upon what market you want to look at. But text us here in the studio or give us a call if you'd like, 803-0930, and we'll be happy to respond to your question. But back to your back to the – we've got about 7 minutes left here, Lynn, and I just want to make sure that our – I mean, it's hard to be educated, as you know, when we talk to our leadership team, and I try to bring up the, I guess, the most salient – elements of the world around us, the financial world around us, to help us be able to help our agents and our customers understand what's going on. What do you look at every day? I mean, what are the key factors you're looking at every single day to kind of, because you've got to be in a constant predictive mode.
Well, we are, you mean in terms of predicting interest rates, predicting...
Just predicting what the market will do, because right now we're seeing across the country, and just let me put a little, I guess, kind of sauce on that. First of all, it was reported yesterday in the financial news that the California market is off 18%. The New York City market is off over 25% in units, but the prices haven't started. The average price is still where it was.
That's shocking.
Now, what does that tell me? It tells me that, number one, there's still a lot of it. There's where the activity is in that average range. And it's shockingly $1.9 million in Manhattan, just to give you an idea how fortunate we are to be in Buffalo. But that precedes a lowering of prices, because once demand softens by that much, more than 25% or 18% in the case of California, once it softens that much, prices have to follow, because somebody who's got their house for sale is going to decide, I got to get out. And once they get out, decide they want to get out, it sets a new bar that's inevitably lower. And everybody will then either rush to that level or say, I'm not going to sell my house.
Exactly.
Depending on the position there. We have a caller online. This is Steve from Grand Island. Steve, how can we help you?
Yes. I've got a friend of mine who, this goes back like 10 years. So when the bubble busted,
Yep.
He says that he hasn't paid his mortgage since then on the advice of his lawyer, because it's so confusing, nobody knows who owns the mortgage.
That's a tremendous question. He's living in effectively a ghost house. What's happening behind?
What's that?
What's happening behind Steve's friend's?
Yeah, I've never quite heard of anybody 10 years in a ghost house. But what happens is sometimes a lender has, because mortgages get transferred and sold, and M&T's got it, then Wells Fargo has it, then Bank of America has it, and they lose the original note. And if they've lost the original note, they can't prove that you owe the mortgage. If they can't prove it, you don't have to pay. Okay, that's the good news. But you also can't sell it, because you don't have clear title to the house. Mm-hmm. So you can live there for free. And, you know, in the case of 10 years,
but the note is filed with the county clerk.
It's filed, but the original note is lost. I'm not a lawyer. Don't even play one on TV. But my understanding is if they can't produce the original note, they can't enforce it.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though I can look and see a signature that's mine.
Yeah. Nope.
And they say, I can say, get this is not my signature.
Yeah, you pray that they please just lose my note.
I just write my signature with my left hand or something.
Yeah, right. I write it with my left hand too.
I know, but yours looks prettier.
I know, because I am left-handed. You can live in these houses, and I've heard again of people doing it for years and years. So what they do generally is they pay the taxes. Otherwise, the town or county or somebody will foreclose. So you pay the taxes, you don't pay the mortgage, you live there for free. But again, you never get clear title of the house, you can't sell it. Maybe at some point you do. Again, it'd be an interesting question to ask a lawyer.
Or a title insurer.
Yeah.
Because a title insurer could say, well, yes, there is a mortgage, and we can see that there is something on file here with the county, wherever this house happens to be. Having said that, we can't prove it, so what we're going to do is we're going to insure over that. And let the next guy buy
worry
the house.
About it. Mm-hmm.
Because that does not remove the obligation of guy number one, right?
Right.
So if they ever do find the note, they can enforce the note, correct?
Right. Yes.
So but that wouldn't necessarily affect the next buyer's rights to ownership.
I don't think so, but again, that's where you need a title insurer and a lawyer. I mean, I would never buy a house like that without consulting with a good real estate lawyer.
Or buy it at such a price that it would make sense for me to take the risk.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if, let's say you sign a note and it's for 30 years. After 30 years, because I do know that sometimes we sell houses and it will show up an old mortgage that I assume is paid, probably was legitimately paid, but nobody filed
nobody
the right
paper. Nobody can prove it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, we, Network Title, our title insurance company, will insure over that. But if it's legitimately not paid, I don't know what they do.
Because we can seek to file a satisfaction of mortgage document.
Right.
All right, we've got about a minute left here, Linda, and I just want you to you know, get your crystal ball out.
Okay.
Tell us what's going to happen in your mind throughout the rest of this year and 2019 in the mortgage market.
Right. Well, bear in mind, if my crystal ball really worked, I would have had the number to the Powerball a few weeks ago.
You'd be spending more time in Florida?
Yes, I would. But I don't think it takes much of a great crystal ball to say that interest rates are going to continue to rise. The Fed will raise rates in December, already probably priced
in. What's the pain point? How high will they get before it affects, in your mind, the demand side?
That is a great question. I've always had in my head that 8% is going to break
the bank.
Yeah,
but it would be a fairly monumental.
We're not going to get there this year. Certainly, we're not. I don't even think we're going to get there next year. But you know, after that.
Well, Linda Malaya, you've been enlightened. You've enlightened me, and I hope our listeners. And thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, Peter.
I'd like to thank our listeners for being with us. We'll be back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is Hunt Country.